Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports on the fishing for you from Hayward Bait and Bottle. And we've also got a great interview with local fisheries biologist Max Walter talking about Lacouture muskies. And then lastly, some great muskie fishing tips from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get the biggest off-road savings of the year during the Polaris factory authorized clearance at Hayward Power Sports. Claim rebates up to $4,000 and financing as low as 2.99% APR on high-performance RZRs, legendary Sportsman ATVs, and Ranger, the world's best-selling utility side-by-side. The selection is great, but won't last long at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Offer valid in the U.S. through 9/30/17 on new vehicles. Subject to credit approval. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service. The clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky for fall hunters and anglers, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
At Timber Ford of Hayward, our huge pre-owned selection is Big City Outstanding. Check out our lot. You're going to love what you see. There's a vehicle for every lifestyle and budget, like our 2014 Ford Taurus SLE, very well cared for, selling for a super low price of $12,985, or our 2011 Ford Escape XLT, loaded and super clean for only $13,985, or our 2008 Toyota RAV, all-wheel drive, for only $8,985. Hurry into Timber Ford. You're going to love how we do business.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and, you know, really, it's looking more and more like the leaves are starting to turn here, lots of them.
Hey, how about last week? Today, it was 45 degrees in the morning and cooler down in the cranberry marshes.
And somebody told me it was 35 degrees one morning.
And I don't doubt that a bit, but heck.
It's a temperature changes in different areas.
But John, it's that time of the year, and it's going to happen, and when it does, or as it does, fishing gets better and better, as we all know, and water activities slow down on the lake, so it's a little more pleasant time of year to be out there.
We got Bob Schuster in here this morning, and Brooke Torstenson is going to be talking a little bit later about hunting season, but that's the big thing, hunting coming up. It's open now as we talk here.
You know, it's amazing. We said a week or so ago, man, so many things to do and not enough time, and I'm telling you, it's true. And you look at some of the magazines, my God, they're so heavy with stuff. You name it.
Talk about the fishing, Bob. What are you hearing out there as far as the fishing, you know, coming into the fall here?
The muskie have been picking up. I know Steve was in, and he got a nice 48-inch, real heavy fish, about 30 pounds. But I've been hearing others that's picking up. The bass is still going, the panfish is still going, and walleye is still going.
Well, you know, fish are going to be a little heavier this year because they just flat had lots to eat this summer.
Oh, yeah, with all the bug hatches and all the, that meaning bait fish there, yeah, they could, most of them could just swim around with their mouths open.
I think your muskies eat some of them bug hatch too, because I've caught them right in the middle of a stonefly hatch before.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about the walleye fishing a little bit, there should be more action starting to move deep here shortly, shouldn't there?
For sure. As the water temp drops down, they'll move out, and then first ice, obviously, they move back into the skinny water and then progress out from there. But there's, as I say, there's been reports actually still in at 10 to 14 foot, in some cases a little less, weed-related, the guys are getting walleyes.
Crappies, though, they've pretty much been a little bit deeper.
Some and lakes suspended, are,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah, and some are on the bottom, and some lakes like the Chip and lakes that I like the lakes where you can find them on the bottom. They seem to be easier to catch than them suspended critters.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know you guys are getting ready for the hunting, or have been getting ready for the hunting season for quite a while here.
Yeah, we have, John, and Brooke's been doing a great job getting our customers' bows tuned up and fixed and repaired, and that'll go on through the season. So I just invite everybody to stop in and see the selection, and if you need some work done, he can take care of it for you, as well as other crew.
90 feet of musky lures for this year.
Yeah, there is for the fall bites, so lots to choose from.
The big thing that's going to be happening, or has happened now, is a big 200 people are in the musky hunt out at the Chippewa Fjords this year. That's a ton of people.
Yeah, that's been going on, actually, Art, for as long as I can remember. They booked that thing in by, like, the end of January. It's annual blink, and it'll be the fall Hayward Chapter Muskies Inc. tournament upcoming this, I believe, 6th, 7th, and 8th of October.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, the hunting seasons are open right now, and we got Brooke in here. And Brooke, you know, what do you think the deer season is going to be like this year?
I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. This year, Sawyer County and Washburn County, Washburn can now bait. Sawyer County now has doe tags. It gives more opportunity for the youth. I think it's going to be fantastic. We've had more water than historically ever recorded, and that leads to better horn growth. And we didn't have a very big harvest last year. So this year it's leading to a lot of good bucks being out there. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities this year. And the acorns are everywhere right now.
The deer biologists were telling us that because of the last several years of a weak winter, that also has played into the development of more deer, which is great to hear because, you know, a couple of years ago, Buck, you couldn't see anything in the woods.
Brooke, I want to thank you here, and you know, if anybody needs some information or some help setting up their bow, you are set up to do that down here.
Yep, and we're also, I've even started boar sighting rifles for people. I mean, everybody's getting excited, and we have plenty of ammunition for anything you want to do, any sport you want, even if you're trap shooting. But I've been working on bows constantly and a lot of crossbows, so come on in, and I'll be more than happy to help you out.
You know what, Art, we're going to take a break and hear from some of our fine sponsors. We come back, I've got an interview with Max Walter again, talking about a very interesting thing, the muskie fishing on Le Coudre and some of the big lakes and what's going on there. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also carry archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, scents, tree stands, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to the freshwater angler boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on a 2017 $18,000 Alumacraft boat powered by a 50-horse Mercury outboard sponsored by John's Motorsports in Hayward. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily from 9:30 a.m. till 4 p.m.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402 or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And you know, you're right in the middle of that. You live out Couderay, where we talk about Couderay muskies.
Yeah, it's the change in the muskies in Couderay has been fantastic through the years, John. I remember when you and I fished quite a bit in the 80s and 90s, and we had some nice fish back then. It was not difficult to catch a fish over 40 inches and maybe two or three. But I'll tell you, in the last 5 to 7 years, it has not been good.
No, there's still big fish in there, but not very many.
That's right. Big fish came out this year, 54 inches. That's a beautiful fish. And it was released, and that's great to hear. But why aren't they developing? Why aren't we getting more in that lake? We put 1,000, Muskies Inc. put 1,000 extended growth in about 8 years ago. I don't see any of them.
Yeah. Well, let's hear what Max has to say about that and what they're doing with the muskies in general as far as trying to get the muskie fishing up higher. Well, Max, you know, when it comes to Hayward area, it's been known for muskies for a lot of years, but northern Wisconsin in general, and we've seen a lot of changes in the sport of muskie fishing, and I think a lot of it revolves around, you know, involvement from more people and the fact they've been catching and releasing fish now for over 40 years.
Yeah, those have been great trends. Muskie fishing is growing in popularity. It's obviously an exciting fish to target, attracts a lot of younger anglers, and catch and release fishing has set up a fishery over the last few decades that's better than it's ever been in a lot of places.
Well, you know, when we're talking about lakes, Hayward here, we've got a lot of different waters, and we've seen a lot of changes. I mean, some of the lakes that we've had that were our big go-to lakes for big fish are not necessarily the lakes that want to go to for big fish now. It seems like a lot of the smaller lakes have caught up to them.
As far as big fish or just musky fishing? You know,
as far as big fish even, I mean.
Yeah, sure, certainly. So I'm guessing you're kind of alluding to like Le Couderay, Grindstone. Those are ones that historically had been big fish lakes. Our impressions from being out and surveying those lakes are they're still big fish lakes. They grow big fish. We saw multiple muskies in the mid 50 inch range on some of our big clear lakes like Le Couderay and Grindstone this spring. But the density of muskies is very low. And that's frustrating to muskie anglers. You know, you don't want to go out there and have to cast for 3-4 days just to get a follow. And I think that's why some people are gravitating towards our smaller lakes that have a higher density. They maybe don't have as many of the really big fish, but even a spider lake can kick out a nice fish. My challenge lately has been trying to get the density of muskies in Le Couderay and Grindstone and Round and Whitefish, you know, up to the point where people are going to be seeing them more often and still hopefully growing some of those big supersized fish.
I know we had a meeting with the DNR going way back. This has gone quite a ways back now, a number of years back, and it seemed to be that, if I'm correct now, there was a lot of data from previous that supported the fact there was only, you know, 250 adult muskies in the lake. That was all it was going to hold in that lake, and we weren't going to get any more in there.
Which lake specifically?
Couderay.
Yeah, the density on Le Couderay right now for adults does appear to be pretty low. It's probably less than 300 fish, and that's much lower than it had been historically. If you look back to the 60s and the 70s, there was closer to 1,000 fish. So you could say that we've had maybe about a 70% reduction since the time when people looked at Le Couderay as a top fishing destination. Variety of reasons for that. One is the recruitment of new muskies into the system is very low. We get muskies coming in from other lakes. We've seen that because we have pit tags out there in those systems now. We get some stockfish coming into the system, perhaps, but we don't get enough to really increase that population.
Well, you know, when you're talking about that, it seemed like it was a lot more fish in there in the mid-80s. And I know at one point I was looking at, I remember when I first started fishing that lake, the hotspots map had DNR data, estimated the adult population of muskies at 250 fish in there. And we saw a lot more fish than that. There seemed to be a lot more fish in there at that time than that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously, a lot of people have similar memories of Lacouture Ray where they could go out and they could get a lot more action for muskies than what they're experiencing today. We're looking at a variety of methods to try and increase the abundance of muskies out there. One is removing some of the northern pike that are not native to the lake but have increased in abundance since they got in, likely in the 40s or 50s. And that's a direct competitor with muskies. You know, you look at the lake and it can only support so much biomass. When a bunch of that biomass is taken up by pike, it's hard to squeeze more muskies into there. So we took out 3,000 pike this spring. That was a cooperative effort between the DNR, between LCO Conservation Department, Couderay Lake Association, and the Hayward Chapter of Muskies, Inc. We put those fish to good use. The pike were, the smaller ones were processed and were donated to local food shelters. Muskies, Inc. paid for that. And then what we want to do this fall is we want to come in and we want to stock a lot of really big musky fingerlings. And Muskies Inc. is involved in this again. I want to give them a lot of credit for being great partners on this effort. But they bought extra food. We're going to keep them at the hatchery longer. We're going to grow them up to be 13 to 15 inch fingerlings. And those fish should have a lot better survival than the fingerlings we've stocked in the past. And hopefully that'll be a shot in the arm for that population.
Well, you know, it's not just Couderay, but Grindstone used to produce a lot of big fish, too, and that seems to be where there's smaller fish in there. Maybe a few more fish than Grindstone, than Couderay, but just like, you know, Round Lake now was another case where that went downhill, too, but now that's starting to come back from what we're seeing out there as anglers.
Yeah, Round Lake is a little different case, because Round Lake was one where, due to public pressure for a while, we just stopped stocking muskies. And we've never had much recruitment out there, but stocking has worked fairly well. Well, you know, if you don't stock for a period of 10 or 15 years, there's going to be a big gap in the muskie fishery. Right. And that's what people were seeing. So now stocking's kind of resumed again. We're actually stocking at a little bit lighter level because we want to have that as a trophy fishery. We don't want it to be a high-density fishery like Spider Lake. We look at that lake, it's got all the building blocks to grow really nice fish. So we want to keep that density low and give them a chance to grow.
Well, you know, you mentioned the pike, but is there any other reasons, like Couderay, for instance, why you're seeing, you think that maybe the muskies are not spawning? They used to be able to spawn in there, I know that.
Yeah, certainly. And there's still, you know, indications that they are spawning successfully to a very low level. But there's been a lot of changes. You know, you look at how Muskie Bay's changed over the years and the habitat out there. A lot of research has shown that when there's not good oxygen right at the lake bed where the muskies are spawning, those eggs are going to die and they just won't hatch. And that might be the situation that we're experiencing in the back of Muskie Bay. We know those fish still show up there and spawn and drop eggs, but we don't ever see anything come of those eggs, which is sad because that's a very historic muskie spawning area. So once again, our local chapter of Muskies, Inc. is stepping up with the Couderay Lake Association, and they're doing some feasibility studies to look at trying to restore that habitat and make it good for muskie spawning again.
Well, you actually only have a few areas in that whole system that they spawn in. You get Muskie Bay, Stookie Bay, and up at Barbertown Bay, and all of those have changed radically over the last 40 years or so.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. You know, you look at our lakes and we have a tendency to love them to death sometimes, and human impacts on a lake over time can really change habitats, and we don't always see the impacts on fish and fisheries. You know, something like largemouth bass, you can do a lot of things to a lake and the largemouth will kind of keep trucking. They're pretty resilient, but you look at some of our more specialized species and our more sensitive species, it doesn't take a big change to kind of throw them off kilter.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes in our muskie fishery, too. I mean, you look at Lakeshore, you mentioned the northern pike before, and northern pike got into almost all of these lakes up here now. And in some lakes, that almost like Teal and Lost Land, it almost seems to have benefited the muskie population. It seems like they grew by eating the pike, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about, you know, pike and muskie being in the same lakes together. We do see a wide range of outcomes when that happens. On some of our darker lakes, like Moose or Blaisdell or Barber Lake, they've had pike for quite a long time, and the pike haven't really taken off. The muskies are still doing great. I think that dark water really favors the muskies over the pike, but you get into a clear water system like Lacouture Ray that's got a few weedy bays for pike to spawn in, and they can really run wild. So You know, a lot of what happens depends on the characteristics of the lake and the type of habitat that's there.
Well, I know, you know, like Twin Lakes now, at Twin Lakes, it seems like the muskie population numbers are radically lower than they were from what we observed as anglers, but the size structures went up and the pike population seems to maybe got a little bit thinner. I don't know.
Yeah. Tiger cat chain is another one where pike have gotten into, and people are really starting to catch a lot of them and a lot of concern about them. We are encouraging anglers to harvest those pike when they see them to kind of, you know, do what we can to slow down the effects the pike are going to have on that ecosystem, because that was a lake system that functioned really well without pike for a long time, and well, now they're there, and we're going to kind of have to see how things sort out and manage it to the best of our abilities.
You know, you got a tough job, Max, when it comes to managing muskies, because we got all over the country. You go over to Minnesota where they stocked a whole bunch of new lakes and the muskie fishery exploded on those lakes. Well, now all of a sudden those lakes have turned down about, you know, a lot of degrees and are not as good as they were. Fish are getting smarter. But you're working with an established muskie fishery trying to make that as strong as you can, and other places are dealing with newly created fisheries, and there's a big difference.
There's a big difference, yeah. There's something called the founder effect. When a predator gets into a new population, you've got all this prey that hadn't been eaten before, and they can really, you know, take off. The other big difference, if we're making those types of comparisons, is lake size. Our lakes are puddles compared to a lot of places in the rest of the world where they're growing big muskies. And we've found that that's a pretty strong relationship. The bigger the lake, the bigger the muskies are going to be. And that's why, you know, Couderay and the Chippewa Flowage and even Grindstone and Round have been our better muskie producers, because they are our bigger lakes. The reason for that's pretty simple. Bigger lakes have a more diverse forage base. They're more likely to have ciscos, whitefish, or tulabies, as they call them in some of the Minnesota lakes. Better perch populations, white sucker populations. There's just more to eat than if you look at some little bass bluegill lake like Mud Callahan. Not to pick on them, Mud Callahan's a good muskie fishery for what it is, but you're not going to get 55-inch fish out of Mud Callahan with what they have out there to eat, which is little bluegill and a few little perch.
Not very often, anyhow. And too bad we don't have more waters around here that we couldn't make more new muskie fisheries.
Yeah, right. If we would have paced ourselves a little more, maybe, but yeah, there aren't a whole lot of places where you could put muskies that they don't already exist. There's a handful. Maybe someday we'll go down that road. My focus right now has been, you know, trying to manage what we've already got and make those lakes as good as they can be. And Muskies Inc.'s done a great job helping us with that. And all the muskie anglers out there that are practicing good catch and release are helping themselves out.
Well, you know, he's always interesting. I got several interviews that will be running here throughout the fall with him. We need to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, I've got a little short interview with fishing guide Steve Jensen, and a wrap up on the show.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Attention pet owners! Dr. Ostrander is excited to announce the addition of veterinarian Dr. Abby Stoll to the staff of Hayward Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby comes from a family with a strong veterinarian tradition. Her grandfather, brother, and cousin are all veterinarians, and her father is an elk biologist. She has a passion for animals. Dr. Abby is intelligent, experienced, kind, and compassionate. Come meet this extraordinary woman at Hayward Animal Hospital, located on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, right away, let's talk about one thing. You know, soft plastic lures, when it comes to muskie fishing, A lot of guys are starting to throw them now, you know, because, you know, we live bait fish in the fall too, but, you know, they can be effective.
Not only that, you can fish them slower, John. As that water cools down, they're not quite as fast as they usually are. But the action of those lures is incredible when you think about it. It really looks like something real.
Yep, you bet. Well, let's hear what Steve has to say about that, and we'll come back with a wrap-up on the show. Steve, I know one of the baits that you use quite a bit, and I have been too over the years, as you go into some of the soft plastics like the Bulldogs. Any good tips that you can give our listeners on using the baits and catching more fish on them?
Yeah, absolutely, John. You know, I use plastics a lot. It's certainly a great tool. It's not a lure that that's the guaranteed catcher of muskies, but it's a really good one. It's one I use all the time. Really what I would say is work them erratically. Most people don't add enough action to their baits. The other thing that I would say is make a lot of cover contact with them. So my main tactic using those plastics is actually to rip them right through that cabbage and you create a reaction bite. The other thing I would tell people is to set the hooks when you get hit on soft plastics. Their teeth can bury down in, and if you don't give them a really good hard hook set and keep that rod bent, a lot of times people lose the fish once they do bite.
Interesting. One thing you said there is that make contact. Most people try to avoid the weeds.
Absolutely. You know, it drives me nuts. So people will try to avoid the weeds. And certainly you don't want your lure full of weeds. But there are days, John, especially during the middle portion of the day when the weather isn't perfect, and I can get fish to bite just by pounding these lures through the weed beds and getting that reaction bite.
And I get asked all the time, will they hit them with weeds on them?
You bet they do. They'll eat them right up. I've had them eat the bait at boat side where you couldn't even see a lure inside the weed ball. Now, given that, if you have a big long 2-foot trailer coming in behind, it's probably going to reduce your odds a little bit. But the reality is pounding through the cabbage works very well. And it's actually one of my main techniques when I'm fishing tournaments as well.
So you fish deep water and shallow water both with them?
Absolutely. They're a tool that can be used everywhere through the water column and actually all through the course of the season, which very few lures have that, you know, versatility.
Well, Steve, is interesting information, and you want to give out your guide information for people?
Sure. If anybody would like to get out for a trip, you can get a hold of me at fishhunts.com or on my cell phone at 715-558-3709. Or, of course, you can always stop in Hayward Bait and Bottle and get my information there as well.
Thank you, Steve.
You betcha.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I know you got a couple things to talk about here.
You know, interesting, a couple weeks ago, Kathy Stepp, who is the secretary of the DNR, is leaving her post to become deputy administrator at the U.S. EPA. That's probably going to be based in Region 7, which is, she'll be living in Lenexa, Kansas. She'll be overseeing Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, and Nebraska, and about 9 tribal nations. Kurt Thiede, who is currently the assistant secretary, has been appointed by the governor temporarily as the secretary. I would just hope, John, that we get somebody in there who has a familiarity with our natural resources.
The duck season this year is going to be different too, isn't it?
You know, it's funny, but there have been several, I've read several articles that really say that if you're smart and if you're a duck hunter, you'll get out and read those duck regulations, because a lot of things have changed. I wasn't aware for a fact that now I can't shoot. Let's say I'm hunting with you, and let's say our limit is 3 ducks apiece, and you have 1 and I have 3. Well, you want to shoot yours, but I shot them for you. I can't do that anymore. That didn't used to be the way it was.
Well, you know, a lot of things change. It looks like the duck populations are going to be good this year, though.
Very good. Mallard and wood duck are up. But the thing that's happening nationwide is we've lost 37% of our carp CRP land. That means 37% less area for ducks to breed in, and that's really a shame.
Well, that actually hurts the pheasants, too.
It does, although apparently this year in North Dakota and South Dakota, they're going to have a good pheasant season. I don't know why that is.
Well, even southern Minnesota, talking to some of the people I guide that are farmers, they're saying that there's plenty of birds down there in some of the drainage ditches and that stuff.
That's true.
Art, you know, we're out of time for this week's show. I want to remind people, if you miss a show, you can get that show on our podcast. And you can get to that from our website at wnoradio.net.
And if you want to be a good person, turn in people that you see poaching. Have them call 1-800-TIP-WDNR. It's a good thing to do.
Well, we're out of time for this week, folks. We'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin. outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.